welcome to DNF Talks, a Last Game Science on Earth mini-series where we'll take more of an interview approach to really get to know our guests and find out what they're up to in the world of tabletop gaming. Enjoy the talk! Hello everybody, welcome to the second installment of DNF Talks. We've got Jasper with us today. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, I'm Jasper. I use they, them, or he, him pronouns, and I'm recently starting up a podcast called Questioning Queer. And today I'm talking about inclusivity with the LGBT community in gaming.
Awesome. First question that suddenly jumps to my mind is the name of your podcast. Am I okay to say it? Because I would consider that word something that I would never say.
That's a really good question, actually. So
I understand the concept of people in the community have reclaimed it as a word.
Yeah.
But I would never say that. But obviously then you've put it in your name for your podcast.
Yeah, I think it is an interesting one. Like, you couldn't go up to someone and say, oh, are you queer? Because I think that's still a bit off. And like, you know, if you said, oh, look at that group of queers, that still wouldn't be quite okay. But like, I think within the gay community, then I'll quite often be like, oh, me and my gang of queers and stuff. So I think it's context. But also with you, this whole episode is about inclusivity. So we know that you're not using it in a bad way.
Right.
I think it depends on the person a lot as well. There's lots of words that people are sort of like reclaiming now. And it totally depends on the person, because I still don't like the F word, which people are very big about reclaiming. But for me, it just doesn't quite sit right. James is trying to think what that word is.
Sorry. Yeah, no, I've got it. Yeah. I thought you were talking about fuck. And I was
No, I would just say fuck if I was talking about fuck.
I was just thinking then, I was like, oh, I say
no,
fuck.
The other one.
I say that a lot. All right, good. I never say that. Right, okay. Cool. So I'm not really going to be talking much in this episode because we're really here to hear what you've got to say.
Okay.
Not me. White, straight male. I've got a bit of a basic structure. I thought we'd start off, well, we've started off with telling us about yourself. The big one, I guess. Should we just dive straight in? How do you think the gaming community can be better?
So I think in terms of, you know, we'll just do board games instead of all of gaming, because that's like an even bigger thing. But with board games, I think people still think it's a very straight, white, male nerd community when it's not. So I think there needs to be some kind of way of removing the stereotype that only, you know, like skinny white virgins can play board games. You know, you're not a stupid stereotype.
Yeah.
And then I think as well, normalize women playing board games, and then other people like non-binary people, androgynous people. Like, things don't need to be gendered, especially board games, considering they're made for everyone to enjoy.
Sometimes when I'm reading like rule books and it says like, when he... And it's like,
yeah,
you're making a very broad assumption that everybody playing this game is going to be male.
Yeah. It's like if I had this when I was more female presenting, like if you are female presenting or you're a woman and you walk into like a Warhammer shop, like it goes quiet and everyone just stares at you and you're like, oh shit, maybe I shouldn't be here. But that's just because everyone's like not used to seeing women in their space. And I think that's something that needs to go.
Yeah. I mean, I've experienced that as a very hairy male. I've walked into some game shops with some of my female friends, and I felt awkward.
It's horrible.
The reaction.
Yeah, you don't own that space. It's a space for everyone. You know, like, there doesn't need to be such a ridiculous reaction if someone walks in, you know?
Yeah, and it's a shame because, like, they are trying really hard to be inclusive, and then it's the people. It's not really the place.
You'll get a few, like, gatekeeping, that's what they call it, isn't it? You'll get a few people who are trying to, like, gatekeep it, and it's like, you don't need to. Like, having a woman in your game isn't going to ruin it.
No, not at all. It comes down to the idea of not gatekeeping, doesn't it? That is a massive part of it. Like, if you were gatekeeping board games towards, you know, somebody who you just didn't really want to be there in the terms of, I always had a weird one that people sometimes said, like, oh, you're like not nerdy enough. And I was a bit, but I'm here wanting to play a board game with you. Surely that means I'm nerdy enough. You know, that's one thing. But then also that kind of mentality then also stretches towards gatekeeping it against, you know, female and LGBTQ plus communities. You know, that's discriminatory. That's
massively. And then I think as well, the type of games that you play, sometimes people will be like, oh, if you play that game instead of that type of game, then it's not as hardcore or whatever. Or like if you play Warhammer or D&D or you don't, then there's always like some kind of judging going on, I feel.
Yeah, I have a hatred of people saying that's not a real game.
Oh God, yeah.
I find that's a very gatekeepery term for me.
Hugely, because
I feel like you're basically saying that if you play this, you're not a real gamer.
If you want to sit down and play, I don't know, Settlers of Catan, or if you want to sit down and play Hungry Hippos, they are technically both board games. One's just a bit more like serious than the other, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Although Hungry Hippos is banned from DNF.
I thought we had it in the library.
Yeah, I've taken it out.
Can I ask why?
Have you ever been in a room with 100 people and then one table decides to play Hungry Hippos? It's just the most annoying sound.
It's like Jenga.
Yeah, like it's already pretty loud at DNF, and then all of a sudden you've got people... four people smacking a Hungry Hippos board. It was awful. That's the other reason. That's fair.
I thought of normalizing pronouns as well. That's like a massive thing, and you can include that in like all of your questions that you're going to ask me today. Normalizing pronouns is like such a big thing.
See, like, yeah, I can see, like, I still feel like I've got to admit, sometimes I still feel awkward asking that question. Even though I understand the reason why I should, I don't know. There's just a little bit of me that's like, "Oh, are people going to be offended for me asking it?" But then I guess the other side of it as well is that I shouldn't expect people to make me feel comfortable.
Exactly.
If it's that sort of thing does affect somebody else a lot more than it's going to affect me.
Yeah,
I've answered my own question, haven't I?
But I'll add on to it though. I think it's always better to ask someone their pronouns instead of presuming them.
Yeah.
Because there's people who are trans and may not present as much, or on that day they might not be presenting, but they still might go against that. You know what I mean?
I learned recently as well that you shouldn't use the term, what are your preferred pronouns?
Ah, okay. I've heard about this. I don't have a huge issue with it, but it's a whole argument that no, they're not my preferred pronouns. They are my pronouns, isn't it?
Yeah. So basically, which I don't think is, again, it's like, it's not that big of a deal for me to just not use that phrase. Just use what pronouns do you use instead?
Yeah, I think that's another one that depends on person to person, because if someone asked me what my preferred pronouns were, I'd just tell them. Like, the word preferred doesn't, to me, have a big effect, but I do understand the logic behind it.
Yeah, and I suppose if some people are going to be upset by it, then it's...
best not to use it.
Yeah, okay. And then obviously, you know, so how can gaming events be better? Obviously, one thing you just said about normalizing asking about pronouns and stuff. We're still going to buy those pronoun badges from yourself.
Yeah.
When we're up and going again, DNF. Is that helpful?
I worked in retail for a while, and like every day I'd wear my pronoun badge that clearly said they, them, and people would still say she, her. And I'm like, God damn it, can you not read? So like sometimes it can help, and other times people will just blatantly ignore it, but it helps me because it's sort of like knowing that if I've got my badge on, then the people who do care and do pay attention will use those pronouns.
And if, so obviously like yourself, you say you've already got a badge. If you went into a gaming event and they had badges for people to use, would that signal something to you?
Oh, I'd be so happy if I went into somewhere and then they had badges laid out that you could use for like the day or you could buy or whatever, then that would just prove to me that this was like a really safe, inclusive space for me and that I wouldn't need to worry about people mocking me or, you know, making a big deal out of it. It's just, oh, cool, you've got a pronoun badge. I'll use those pronouns.
We'll definitely see to get in some then at DNF.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea. That's why at the moment, a lot of people are putting their pronouns in their Twitter bio. Even if they're, you know, straight males, they're still putting their pronouns in because it normalizes it, which is like the big thing.
Yeah, definitely. I think I went a while, obviously a few years ago, kind of not understanding the fact that if I also do it too, it normalizes it and makes it more comfortable for the people who...
Exactly. I think with the, how can events be like more inclusive as well? I think making specific inclusive events. So I know DNF had, was it a woman's event or a woman's table at one point for an event?
It was anybody who identifies as a woman or a minority.
That was it, yeah.
Yeah, I think we opened it up to more than just women.
Yeah. Things like that are really important because it shows that you're a safe space.
Obviously, shout out to Paolo, who runs the Adventures to Order, who runs the RPG side of the All Dayers. That was he's very good at like inclusivity and stuff like that.
That's what you need in a community like that, though. It's people showing that it's not just for a certain type of person; it is for everyone.
Because obviously, we at DNF we make a big show of you know, it's in our like code of conduct saying be welcoming to everyone. And, you know, we strive to be welcoming to everyone, but it's also doing things, I guess, is more important than words.
Yeah, it's the suffragette saying, isn't it? Actions, deeds, not words. That was a suffragette saying. But I think, yeah, saying it is a really good step, though, but then proving it is a bigger step, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's one thing, us writing it in our code of conduct that's, you know, presented to everyone as they walk in through the door, like no discrimination, but then actually acting as an organization that tries to, obviously doesn't discriminate in itself, but also tries to educate others in ways that they might be discriminating against, if not realizing it.
Yeah, like you can accidentally discriminate. It happens a lot, and it's not coming from like a malicious place. It's just, and I wouldn't say ignorance either. It's just a genuine mistake.
Anything else you'd like to add on about gaming events?
Oh, that was one. I think, well, when I was in the Tabletop Society at Liverpool University, we teamed up with the LGBT Society. So we had a tabletop and LGBT event. So that meant that people who were in tabletop who didn't know much about the LGBT community could learn. And then people who were in the LGBT community and wanted to learn more about games and like play some games that they wouldn't normally could. So I think like integration, you'd call it, like that kind of thing is really important as well.
Yeah,
like opening up worlds to people that might not have been accessible or they knew about otherwise.
Yeah, so a bit of a like an event crossover.
Yeah,
so for instance,
exactly.
I know that obviously this is before the lockdown and stuff, but Via in Canal Street, like they've got a board gaming event, so it could be a thing of like doing a crossover with them.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Cool. Should we move on to how important is representation in games to you?
Yeah, let's do that.
So,
I think representation is really important in games. So like a lot of games where you need to pick a character, they'll be like very male or female. There's no kind of other alternative. It's like you can be Mary, the married housewife, or you can be Dylan, the husband who works all day. There's no kind of like androgynous or middle ground characters. And I think that can be quite dysphoric for some people, because if they don't want to pick a male or a female character, and no, it's not the be all or end all, but it's like little steps like that that are quite important in making you feel like welcome and valid.
Because obviously the, you know, the thing that you hear about a lot is, as an argument against everything that you've just said, is that you couldn't possibly have enough characters in a game to represent absolutely everything. But would you, so like, if you saw a character in a game that doesn't necessarily represent you, but represents somebody in a similar community to you, is that the same as kind of like, does that make you feel better?
Yeah, it would, because it'd be less of the male and female trope. It'd be a nod towards other people. I think I had a thought about other games as well. So I think games like King of Tokyo and even Epic Spell Wars, they don't have gendered characters. So King of Tokyo is obviously just monsters and stuff. And some of them are a little bit coloured. Like, I think there's like a cat that's really pink, but they're not gendered characters. And Epic Spell Wars as well, they will have vaguely male or female characters, but they'll also have like mythical beasts or like vaguely genderless characters. And even like something like that, that's a bit silly, but it's still less pressure than having to force someone to pick between a male and a female character.
Right. Yeah.
Along the representations line as well, I had a little look today because I was curious. I was wondering how many LGBT games are there, board games there are, and I didn't see that many at all. I think I saw one or two, both of which were sort of like based around falling in love or sort of like they had like a romance feel to them. And I don't think that's important either. I don't think that to have an LGBT game, it doesn't mean that they have to have a love story. Just a vague mention would be better than like having the whole game about it.
Yeah, right. So
does that make sense?
Basically, you're saying that people in the LGBTQ plus community are more than the people they fuck.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That is exactly what I'm saying. It's not just about who they fall in love with or fuck or whatever. It's, there's more to the community than that. So why should the games just be about that? That's not the whole side to the community. Mm. And like a lot of the games are sex-based as well. When I was having a look, there were sort of like drinking sex games and stuff like that. And I was just like, why does an LGBT game have to be sex involved? Like, why can't I just have a game that has like a trans character and that's it? That's, you know, just a small little thing like that.
Yeah, or like an RPG with a group of gay mates going on an adventure.
Exactly, yeah. And like, they don't have to fall in love along the way. They're just gay. That's just something that happens, you know?
Yeah.
It's not a main part of the story. It's just they're existing in this world being gay.
What's more important to you? Games that are specifically marketed as this is an LGBTQ plus game, or games that are marketed to everyone that involve, that include representation?
Definitely games that are marketed towards everyone that include representation, because again, it's normalizing it. It's not just for the LGBT community. It's for everyone, and it reminds everyone that the community's there and valid and exists. It doesn't need to be like a big song and dance.
Yeah. We've also kind of covered what game designers could do to improve representation, but have you got anything to add on that for?
Well, I think we covered a lot of it. Like you said, we did genderless characters, trans characters, and gay characters that are just existing. But I also think that Cyberpunk 20...
It's a video game, so you're asking the wrong person.
Yeah. It's not a board game. But they did...
It doesn't exist in my world.
They did a really good job at sort of like starting to normalize it, because I've not played it, but as far as I know, you can pick the genitalia your character has, and that doesn't have to correspond, what are the right words, it doesn't have to correspond, you know what I mean? So it's sort of like you could have a penis and breasts as far as I'm aware, and that's really good for sort of like for trans people and representation, because it's more options.
Yeah, cool. I suppose that also kind of, you could apply that to character builds in RPGs, tabletop RPGs as well, couldn't you?
So. Yeah, because you get more free reign, don't you? So you can just say what you want about your character. I think that's why a lot of queer people do tend to like D&D. That is something that I've noticed.
But I think if in the, I can imagine it feels amazing if you're reading like the character section in an RPG rulebook and it specifically says like, you know, you can choose.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't have to be some sort of like potion or spell that makes you, you can just choose it. You don't have to change anything.
And it's basically the game saying that we accept this as.
Yeah, exactly.
Any final thoughts?
I don't think so. I think that was the main points.
Excellent. Oh, cool. We'll end this little DNF talks with you, Jasper, with the question that we're going to be asking everybody who comes up. What does tabletop mean to you?
I think for me, tabletop of like a safe space where I can just sit back and relax with my friends and have a few drinks and then kind of ignore the real world for a bit and just lose myself in the game. You know, I don't need to have to worry about like money or jobs or anything. I can just sit and I can be like a barbarian or I can be a witch, whatever I want to be, and I can just worry about my game. And then for me, it's not massively about winning or losing. I massively play for the experience of the game. Like, if I lose, I'm never that bothered. And if I win, I'm like, oh, that's nice. I don't normally win. But it's never a huge upset for me to lose because it's about the time that I'm playing with my friends more than anything for me.
It's the space that you create with the games that you like.
Yeah, I think that you can just sit back and ignore reality for a while, like I said, and just sort of lose yourself in the game and build a long train ride or, you know, whatever game you're playing.
Like when you lose yourself in a good book, it's the same kind of thing,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly.
I've been throwing myself into massive fantasy worlds during lockdown just because I just want to spend a couple of hours not thinking about this world. So I'm going to go and find Middle Earth for a bit. No, I get that. That's really cool.
And I really appreciate having the time to just sit back with my friends and not be on my phone as well. And not we're all focusing on the same things. We're not sat in the same room all on our phones. We're doing like a joint activity because I know for one, I can be really bad for spending a lot of time on my phone. So it's nice for me to be able to like just relax, put my phone down and play a game for a while.
It's one of the reasons why I like playing games in pubs and stuff, because it's, you know, nobody's to blame, and I do it myself, you know, but you do just kind of suddenly realize, and like, I've not been listening to people for like 10 minutes. I've been scrolling through Facebook looking at what other people are doing who aren't in the same room as me.
Yeah, normally you don't even care about them.
I can catch up with so and so on the bog, but these people are here now, I may as well listen to them.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Jasper. It's been really interesting listening to what you have to say, and I hope that we can move forward, implement everything that you've brought to us today, and hopefully some people listen to this and learn something. Yeah, hopefully it'll do some good.
Thank you, and I hope, like you said, people can, you know, pay attention and learn a bit and maybe think about something they hadn't thought about before. I think DNF is really good already. Like, they've got someone like you who is really aware and knows that they can make differences and changes. So I think that's all we need.
Thank you very much. Have you got any places that people could go that if they've listened to this and have been affected by anything that's being said, somewhere they could maybe get some information? Obviously your podcast for one.
Yeah, there's my podcast, Questioning Queers. And then there's like the more serious places is the LGBT Foundation in Manchester, and there's Proud Trust in Manchester. Manchester has such a huge queer community that you're not short of places that you can go to ask for help.
Yeah. Well, thanks again.
No, thank you.
As always, thank you so, so much for listening. If you want to get in touch with us about anything at all, find us on social media with @LGNOEpodcast or email us at lastgamesnightonearth@outlook.com. If you enjoyed it, please consider telling at least one person. It's the best way to help spread podcasts. And if you want to help support Dungeons & Flagons' events in the future and keep the podcast going, check out our Patreon by searching Dungeons & Flagons. I've been James, and this has been DNF Talks, part of the Last Games Night on Earth podcast. Thanks again.